Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Dragon's Library. Today we're going to be talking about Squid Game, partially because I haven't finished playing Hades yet. For those of you who don't know, I actually do own a Switch, so I'm playing Hades on the Switch right now. And I haven't had a working working left controller for a while. I finally got a new one. So I'm working on that. You'll hopefully see that up in the next week or so. Depending on when I get around to it, I have a lot of movie reviews to do this month, because this month is, like, huge for movies. I have something, like, every week for movies. This week, you're not going to get a movie review, because I'm not going to be able to see Halloween Kills until Sunday, so that'll be up this next Tuesday. No need to worry, it's going to be up when it gets up. But I hope you enjoy it when it comes out. It's going to be hilarious. The only scary movie this month is going to be the funny one. Anyway. Since I didn't have really anything else to review, and I haven't been able to finish getting through any of the games I've started on again, let's review Squid Game. Sound fun? So, for those of you who don't know, Squid Game is a new Netflix show, recently released, and it has the distinction of being one of the most popular foreign shows on Netflix. For those who aren't familiar with it at all, it's a Korean show, South Korean, obviously. You don't get anything out of North Korea except for propaganda. And it's basically Kaiji. And now the anime community is gay and everyone else is just more confused. Okay, so the basic premise is that you have this guy in a lot of financial straits, you know, huge debts, estranged wife and daughter. And he gets approached by this shady guy on a subway train who offers him a chance to win some money, like a lot of money, enough to pay all his debts off. He accepts, is knocked unconscious, and wakes up in a dormitory with 455 other people, all wearing tracksuits labeled with numbers. Yeah, it's this kind of show. And they're told they're going to compete in the Squid Game, a competition where the winner can win billions of won, which is basically millions of dollars, enough to clear away anyone's debt. You know, no matter how much money you owe, if you win this game, you're in the clear. And the first episode, and you know, obviously we know what's going on. We know this game is going to very quickly turn lethal. But most of the other people are like, all right, we'll play a game. And so the first game is Red Light, Green Light. Yeah. That game ends terribly. Over half the people die in the first game. Because turns out there's a little animatronic, like, doll. Like, anybody who's seen the trailers for this will have seen, like, the weird, creepy animatronic doll who, like, looks like 1, 2, 3, red light, green light, and red light, green light, red light, green light, and it turns its head around, and it has motions in its eyes. And it, whenever somebody gets detected, they get shot. So it very quickly turns chaotic, especially when a bunch of morons, decide that after they realize they're all dying, there's like a mass panic. So a lot of people are knocked over and move and are shot because some idiot who didn't realize that they run away, they're going to be killed. I mean, seriously, like, I do have to genuinely question the intelligence of the people who ran away. It's like, you do realize it's going to shoot you if you move. Why are you moving? But yeah, so they wipe out, like, those morons wipe out easily half the people there. We're following the main character, Gunhee. I'm just going to call him Gunhee. That's his last name. It's easier for me to pronounce. I'm sorry. I apologize, Korea. And yeah, after the first game, half people are eliminated. That's basically the first episode. We meet a few other people. We, you know, this disgraced doctor, a financial broker who's, you know, in a lot of debt, who's a former classmate and friend of the main character. We meet a pickpocket who stole his money. It's, you know, we also meet a lot of other people from just all over the country too. And they're all just being grouped together because they're all in desperate no-win situations. They have no chance. It's very interesting, actually. And it's not just Korean people. You also meet, like, a Pakistani worker and everything like that. I think maybe you might live in Korea, though, so I think they do grab other people from Korea. The game's a lot of fun, though. I think Squid Game is one of the better shows coming out. I've heard that Kaiji is good, and I think I should watch it after watching this and getting how it's absorbed as I got in this thing. Squid Game is, like, one of those games where the art design and the stage design, the costumes, the general tone of it, of this whimsical kids' games turned deadly, will really attract some people. Honestly, the outfits of the guard, they're in, like, these, like, pink suits that completely cover them, and, like, these black masks that either have a triangle, a circle, or a square on them that denote their rank. And all of it's being overseen by a strange, mysterious guy in a black mask who's called the Frontman. What's really interesting about foreign films, though, is that since they know that most of their audience, like, a lot of foreign films understand that a huge chunk of their audience is going to come from foreign box offices, so they seem to be more willing to insert other languages into the film. So there's a scene where we meet, like, the guys in the shadow in the background, and they're all talking with complete American accents in the same scene where we – in the same episode where we're watching subtitled Korean language stuff. And I actually really like it because it sets a tone. Like, these are all the, you know, poor out-of-their-luck people in South Korea, and these are some rich a-hole from America coming over to, you know, watch them die for their entertainment, which, you know, helps with the metaphor. In case you didn't realize, it's a metaphor for capitalism. I'm not sure if it's mentioned it. It's said it about 5 times. Everything's fair. Although, in a weird way, it does kind of try and point to the games as being more fair in the outside world. So, minor spoilers for episode 2, alright? Because I need to make a point. When the first game ends, as you can imagine, the entire... Everybody's playing is like, I don't want to play this anymore. I don't want to die. And there's a clause that says if over half the players don't want to play, you can end the game. Well, guess what? They do allow that. They allow a vote. And before they do, they try and, you know, rig the voting a little bit by showing them all the money that they'll have earned from all the people that died. So for each person that dies, like, a few million won get put in the bank. Was it, like, 10 million won or something like that for each person? And if the game is ended, all that money will be donated to the families of those who died. You know, to pay out their debts and give their families a new lease on life. And it'll only be given away if they get through all 6 games. Now, technically, since the way it said it was 6 games... If people survive, they can go divided to multiple people. You just have to survive all 6 games. But obviously, they're going to, you know, whittle them down to a one-on-one encounter in the end. Anyway, it's really interesting because in most games like this, you know, half of people say they want to continue the game. Obviously, the show has to continue. Which is why that doesn't happen. Yeah, it is a literally by one vote, over half the people do not want to continue to play the game. So they're all dropped back off where they were picked up, and they're told that if they ever want to continue the game again, they'll know. And a few weeks later, more than almost everyone who's still alive, because some people died in the outside world in the intervening time, because, you know, these people living on the edges of society, often with massive debts over their heads, came back. They all come back. All the main characters come back for the game. Because what else are they going to do? They have 0 choices. This is literally their best option. And at least it's fair. And the game makes a big point about that. Like, the game master really hates cheating. Their whole game is predicated on the idea that everyone in this game has an equal chance. Everyone. And one of the interesting parts about that is they even find a cheater. And there's this whole thing where one of the contestants is a doctor, and he's been working with some of the guards to harvest organs, sell them the black market for profit, in exchange for information about what's coming up in the game. So the game master finds out, and he kills all of them. And he even tells the guards after he kills the contestant, "I don't care if you sell black market, or I don't care if you sell organs on the black market. What you do with the bodies after the fact is not my problem. We have a proper disposal method. As long as you're following the basic rules of that, i.e. what's left of the body goes in here, you can take out any organs or take anything you want. I don't care. But you will not help a contestant cheat. And he freaking murders them all. He murders them and strings their bodies up. And then he proceeds to apologize to the contestants on the intercom, saying, I apologize. Our game is always supposed to be fair and equal for all people involved. Everyone has an equal opportunity. And these five individuals jeopardize that by giving information to this contestant. And for that, they have been murdered. Their bodies strung up for you to seize as an example so others will not follow them in their path. And it's, you know, it's this really brutal moment of, oh, wow, they actually believe that this game is a better alternative. And you get the idea that the contestants also seem to believe this game is a better alternative to what they would have to endure in the outside world. That's the whole point of that scene where they have to come back in the second episode. They come back because, to them, this is a better option. Again, did you get that this was a scathing indictment of capitalism? Did you? Have you caught that? This show is not that subtle about it. Yeah. Although, I guess it's not really as much an indictment of capitalism as it is an indictment of the way our system allows people to go so in debt they have no way of coming back. It's more of criticizing debts and the way they can destroy people's lives even without, like, outright killing them, to the point where actually dying can be seen as a better alternative, or at least a risk willing to be taken. Which, you know, it's all very sad. All these people have, like, just objectively terrible lives. Even the really bad people don't exactly have great lives either. Like, there's a gangster who's in debt and constantly on the run, and he's, like, the main villain. But yeah, this is a very fun, quirky show. A lot of, like, kids' games turn deadly are really funny. Also, you know, horrifying a bit, but mostly funny, honestly. And, yeah, really enjoyed it. Oh, also, there's a side plot about a cop trying to investigate the game. It's not important. It's mostly just sequel bait. Well, it is. But, So that's, like, the basic overview. I'm going to get into more of the games in a little while. First, I want to talk about the actors. I don't really have much to say about any of these actors. They're all doing their job. The old man's pretty good at his job. Pretty good actor. I really like how much fun he seems to be having in the games. You know, before you learn the dark secret. And then Gi-hun is pretty good. He comes off as a mature, relatable everyman. The girl who's trying to get her brother out of the orphanage and get her parents out of North Korea comes across as one of the more sympathetic people, even though she could be a bit ruthless at times. The doctor, or not the doctor, the investment banker, his old friend, Sang-woo, is definitely, like, the more subtly ruthless. Like, Goon-hee thinks of him as, like, the only familiar person here to him. And he slowly realizes how ruthless his old friend is, or how his old classmate has become, and what he's been doing, you know? He learns that Sang-woo was actually secretly a part of that whole cheating and got inside information for one of the games, and specifically told his other teammates to make bad decisions, to not pick the best decision, even though he knew what the game was because he couldn't risk giving it away. So he might have sent outright, he tried to sentence them to death just to avoid getting caught cheating. And yeah, he comes across as kind of an a-hole. I kind of hated him from day one, but, you know. That's basically it. The effects are good. A lot more practical effects than CGI, which I kind of liked. And, yeah. That's about it. Alright, well, let's move on to, like, more details on the plot and some of the games. If you don't want spoilers for this show, go ahead and, you know, skip ahead. I'm fine with that. But, yeah. So, in Squid Game, we have six games. First one's Red Light, Green Light. The second one is the... All right, so apparently there's this game that kids play, or something, activity, I guess it would be called, in South Korea. And it was called Dalgona, I think. Dalgona? Basically, it's where you have these little round spears of discs of sugar that are, like, melted down, and a basic shape is put into them. So you have, like, a triangle, a square, a star, or, no, you know, so you have a triangle, a star, a circle, and an umbrella. And you have to use a little pick to pick out the shape, to, like, excavate the shape without breaking it. So if you break the shape, you die. Bam. Gunshot to the back of the head. You know, they're, but they, you have them like all sprawled out over like a little giant playground, like a playground like built for like adult sized people. Which is a little creepy, honestly. Just like in the way they're all colorfully designed, like little playgrounds with like daycare backgrounds and stuff like that. And if you break the shade, you die. This is the one where the whole cheating thing went down. And before the next game, there's a big riot because they instill a giant riot in order to try and... Or no, that's after the fourth game. Okay, so the next game, the third game, is Tug of War. That's it, Tug of War. So the third game is Tug of War. And obviously there's a guy who's getting inside information. He grabs a guy of all, you know, big, strong guys. They just wreck their opponents. Oh, by the way, if you're wondering how Tug of War can be dangerous, you're on two platforms suspended above like a 10-story drop, and when somebody pulls you all the way off the side, a giant guillotine cuts the rope in half and you fall to your death. And you're chained to the rope, so you can't just let go. Obviously. No gunshots needed. Easy execution. Although it looks very painful. so yeah. That's basically all that. The fourth game is Marbles, which I've never gotten. I've never understood how you play Marbles. I've never played it as a kid. But apparently the game name of the game wasn't even just, like, the Marbles. It's you have to take the Marbles without force. And there's no direct rules on how you do it. Some people, you know, try and decide who deserves them more. Some people play a game with the Marbles, winner gets them. Some people try and steal them, that kind of thing. Use your ingenuity, work within your rules. And if you can get away without getting caught, win. If you lose all your marbles, you're killed. That's basically the game. They're paired off into groups of two, so it's not a big free-for-all. But yeah. What else? After that, there's this big riot. So the guards start stoking violence with low rations, allowing people to get away with stealing, and eventually it leads to a bunch of people trying to kill others in order to reduce the competition and the prize pool. it definitely does not end well for most people there. It cuts them down to like 16 people. Then they're all told to pick a number. And, you know, take this little vest, this, like, race number. They're really pushing it. In this episode, they really push on the metaphor that they're all racehorses. You get to meet the American backers who are all, like, these, you know, ridiculously hedonistic guys surrounded by sex and women and booze. All, you know, sitting up there with these gold animal masks, betting on people. There's one guy who's betting on the guy 69 because gross reasons. One of the people kills themselves when he realized he killed his own wife in the game, in the Marvel game, so that doesn't end well for him. And we move on to the fifth game. The fifth game is, well, it actually is pretty interesting. I like it. It was a cool idea. So the contestants are suspended high above the ground, and they have a bridge with two columns in front of them. And there are two columns, each with, two railings that connect, tiles made of either tempered or regular glass suspended high above the air. And there are 18 of them in each row, enough to completely wipe out all the contestants and leave there be no winner, potentially, without a bit of luck. With bad luck. So what happens is, the contestants have to jump onto one of the two rows. And if they jump on the tempered glass, it'll hold. If they jump on the regular glass, they fall through and die. And they have to go in order of the numbers they pick. So Gihon actually managed to get 16 because somebody else is like, I want to go first. I don't want to be a coward anymore. Please, sir, will you let me have number one? Because he was about to choose number one. And that guy, the look on his face when when the game rules were explained, he realized that there was literally, like, the chances of him getting there were, like, 0.000 something percent. one divided by two to the 18th power. So let's see. Let me calculate that real quick. Let's see. So two power of 18 under one. Yeah, so it's 0.000038, et cetera, chances of you being able to do that correctly. So there's basically no chance he will die. He's dead. Like, the moment he chose that number one, the moment anyone in the first, like, eight rows chose, they were definitely dead. That's just the way this game was lined up. It was a blind, random chance. And I like it because it's really in support of the whole, yeah, it was fair. You got to choose. You didn't get to know what the game was ahead of time. But at the same time, it's saying, choose a random number. Oh, look, we just drew this random game out of a hat. Seems as if your number means you basically automatically lose. And yeah, it's a really terrifying, tense scene. You go back to the Americans as they're like betting on people and talking about how their guy's going to win. And all but three people die. And now we're down to the final three. So you have the girl who was after, you know, the money so she can get her parents out of North Korea and her brother out of an orphanage. You have Gun Gi-hoon and Sang-woo, the two former classmates. And they're all given this, you know, wonderful dinner where all this extravagance while they just sit there shell-shocked over all the people they've watched literally plummet to their death, the few people they've actually made friends with, they told their real names to. Rather than their numbers. And then they get, you know, this nice suits and a fancy steak dinner. And, you know, they get treated to a final last meal, basically. After that, apparently one of the girls got stung, got a shard of glass embedded in her. She took it out, but she's slowly bleeding. So the two of them want to stop the game. However, that night before they can, Sang-woo kills her because he doesn't want all the money to go to those people who lost. They were winning. They've been through all these games. One of them deserves the money, not those a-holes. So without a majority, they can't stop the game. And they go to this final game, and apparently it's the Squid Game. It's apparently this game that was played in like the 1970s and 80s in Korea, which is based around like trying to push people out of this ring. And the attacker has to go around this strange shape in order to stop only being able to hop on one leg when not in between the bases. It's a little strange. I didn't really understand the rules of it. But in this case, it's not really a game as much as it is, hey, you can't move until you get to meet the conditions. The defender can't do anything other than hop around on one leg. And once that happens, it's an all-out, you know, murder. It's just kill each other for our amusement, like gladiatorial style. You've each gotten a knife that we specifically left you after dinner, and like, it's really funny the way they do the knife. They don't do this like thing where they just don't notice everyone taking a knife the night before at the dinner. They literally take all of their plates and leave a single knife sitting there in front of them. It's like, we're not going to make you take it. Just, here's a knife. Here's a knife. And of course, Gi-hoon wins. He tries to stop the game and convince Sang-woo to go ahead and stop it with him, because if they both agree to stop the game, it ends right now. But Sang-woo knows he's basically dead already. He's not willing to, he admits defeat, basically. And yeah, he refuses to complete the game. And Sang-woo stabs himself in the neck. He asked him to use the prize money for Gi-hoon to help him with his mother. Traumatized, Gi-hoon goes away to find his own mother has passed away. And a year later, he remains traumatized, has barely touched any of his money. One night, though, he gets a game invitation card to his shock and finds out that player one, the old man, is still alive, but dying from his brain tumor. He basically is revealed to be the mastermind behind the game. He created it to entertain the bored ultra-rich like himself while testing if humanity had any inherent goodness in it. Gi-hoon gets mad at him, but he talks him down saying, hey, we let you all leave. After the first game, after that one agreement, We said you could all leave, and you did. But every single one of you that kept playing came back. And it's true. A lot of the games have been based on the old man's childhood, and he makes a bet with him before he dies about an unconscious man lying in a street corner and asks if anybody will help him come save him. And obviously, since Squid Game is leaning more in favor of we can do better, after the old man dies, before midnight, before the deadline, some guy who passed him came by with a police officer and, you know, helped the guy out. And so Gi-hun, recognizing the inherent goodness in humanity, that even in the darkest times, yada, 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 you know, that feel-good message in nihilistic shows like this, where, like, even if we're in this cruel, chaotic system, there can still be inherent goodness, which is, you know, it's a message. But seeing that and the old man's death pushes him to do something else. He at first was going to go try and reconnect with his daughter and wife in Los Angeles after he fulfills his promises to the last two, you know, for the final contestants, the girl. He helped get her brother out of the orphanage. I think he helped her parents as well. And he helped Sang-woo's mom. And then he's going to be going. But on the route to the plane, like when he's going through the subway and everything like that, he sees a game recruiter. The same one who, got him into the game. He snatches the card away from him, like grabs it. He's like, do not go there. Do not. Please, do not go into this place. It is... No, you don't. You will take anything other than that. Because he's freaking traumatized with all this. Like, he spends an entire year basically shell-shocked, barely using the money for anything other than the food. But yeah. However, though, when he makes a decision to call the number on the card, and the front man, the guy in the creepy black mask who's been running the whole thing, we got all angry at the cheaters, and also confronted the police officer, orders him to get on the plane. And Gi-hun, ends the call instead and stays determined to, like, stop the game from sprawl. So he's going to use his immense wealth to try and stop the games. Also running in the background to all of this, because it really enjoys doing the subplots, we get this subplot with a police officer infiltrating the games to try and find his information on them, to bring them to justice, and find out what happened to his brother, who we believe was abducted by them. Surprise twist, it turns out the front man is his brother, who won the games and is now running them. Don't really know how that works, but he died. He gets shot and falls off a cliff, so he's definitely coming back because we didn't see the body. If we get a second season, I guarantee you he will either have survived, or his phone call that they said did not go through to the police actually did go through the police, and we're going to have a new police officer coming in, maybe another relative. That, I'm just calling one of those two outcomes, is definitely happening. So, yeah. That's Squid Game for you. Violent, stylish, all those nice, fun things. Very good show. Very much recommend it. Seriously, if you're not really into foreign films, this is a good place to start. If you're not foreign films and shows. Because, quite frankly, we can do better than the U.S. We really can. And I think, like, that's fair. Like, there are a lot of really good shows from other countries, and I feel like not enough people see them. Anime has gotten more popular, but again, that's still pretty niche, and a lot of people will just watch the dub. If there isn't, like, an English dub of something, a lot of people will just snub it out of hand. I think that's very unfair to a lot of really good shows out there. So, yeah. Hope you guys like this, and I will see you next Tuesday for our review of Halloween Kills, where we can watch them finally kill Michael Myers. Yeah, I can't even finish out of the single face. He's totally going to probably survive after this or come back into the movie. Halloween, you've lost all... The Halloween movies have lost all suspension of disbelief at this point. Anyway, see ya.
I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode, and thank you for listening to The Dragon's Library. Please, subscribe to this podcast to be notified of new episodes. The Dragon's Library releases new episodes Tuesday and Friday each week, and you can follow us on Twitter at dragon_library2. If you want to suggest an episode topic, my email is in the description below. And as always, thank you so much for all your support.